Let's get back to your case. Okay, so this lady has refused all therapy. She certainly should have had hormonal therapy and radiation therapy. But now you see her, she's got metastatic disease. And just in the bone or where else?
When she presented with her pathological fracture, like once she went through surgery, whatnot, we did full staging with bone scan and CAT scans. And her disease at that time was pretty much confined to the bones. She had a few very, very tiny pulmonary nodules. They were too tiny to biopsy, and it was unclear if they were related to her cancer or not. I think in retrospect, they may have been because they have disappeared in subsequent scans and have not recurred. But they were too small to characterize, too small to biopsy. And we already had a confirmatory biopsy from her bone, suggesting that whatever we were seeing in her scans was related to her previous ER-positive cancer. So, as I said, she was obviously in a lot of pain at that time, which improved after the surgery and pain medication. Had palliative radiation for that area and was discharged and saw me in clinic. And in the hospital, we had already started her. We gave her a dose of zoledronic acid. We started her on tamoxifen. And once she came to clinic, we discussed the potential benefit of rendering her postmenopausal so we could use better endocrine therapies such as either AIs, like an AI instead of using tamoxifen, and potentially avoiding the need for having to use an LHRH agonist since she already was done with having kids and was in her early 40s. We also discussed the possibility, and now had stage 4 disease, the possibility of undergoing an oophorectomy, which she did agree. So she had a laparoscopic bilateral sumpingal oophorectomy. And at that point, we switched her from tamoxifen to an AI and also discussed that since enough time had elapsed between her radiation, palliative radiation to the hip, to seeing us in clinic, we would also start a CDK4/6 inhibitor, considering that she had several bones affected by her tumor and she was young. So we wanted to maximize her response to first-line treatment.
And which CDK inhibitor do you use?
I use palbociclib.
Okay, in a second, I'm going to ask you kind of to go through the three, but just sort of backtracking a little bit in terms of her management there in that situation. First of all, any thoughts about, I don't know how much pain she was in or what the location, whether you thought radiation was going to be able to handle it, but any thoughts about, like, one of the strategies you hear people using for years, decades, actually, is like induction chemo to, quote, get things under control and then using hormones. Do you ever use that kind of strategy? For example, if she had had multiple sites of pain that you couldn't radiate everything, what would cause your visceral disease? Do you ever use that strategy of chemo first? And if you do that, do you hold the hormonal therapy till it's done?
For patients that present with very bulky, very symptomatic disease, I would consider chemotherapy induction first before endocrine therapy if somebody had true visceral crisis. So when I say bulky disease, I'm actually thinking more organ involvement. So a lot of lung disease causing shortness of breath or liver disease causing pain. So truly very symptomatic, very bulky disease. Bone-only disease, I am a little hesitant to jump the gun on chemotherapy induction, even if in multiple spots that you couldn't radiate, because for a lot of times you can still control it well with oral opioids. And strangely enough, when you start bisphosphonates or something like denosumab, it really does seem to help quite quickly with the pain. But in patients with very symptomatic visceral disease, then I would consider induction chemotherapy before starting endocrine therapy. For this patient, the brunt of the pain that she had was in the hip, and that actually got much better control after the surgery. But she did have a pathological fracture, so she really needed just to have the consolidation radiation. And at that point, the pain was actually well controlled. So there was no need to consider induction chemotherapy for her, even though she was premenopausal and had bone disease in several spots.
Was the pathologic fracture an acute event? What was she doing?
So it was a hairline, like she hadn't broken where she collapsed, but she was playing with her kids and running, all of a sudden felt that her leg gave out and heard a pop. So I have a terrific pain, couldn't do weight-bearing activities anymore, and that's what brought her into the hospital. So it wasn't a displaced fracture, it was more of a hairline fracture, but obviously it was enough to require fixation.
How old are her children?
Right now, her oldest is 14. And the youngest is 9. She has 3 kids.
I was interested by the fact that you said you delayed starting the palbociclib because of the radiation therapy. How much radiation does it take to get you to want to think about that? Now, here she's getting a fair amount of marrow, you know, with the hip radiated. What about, you know, lesser degrees of radiation, you know, in an extremity, for example?
So I think if the palliative radiation had to be, let's say, in the rib or in the humerus, whatnot, I wouldn't have a problem going ahead with a CDK4/6 inhibitor right away. But because she really needed to have radiation in a location where a substantial amount of marrow is present, such as the hip, I was a little afraid of starting her on palbo right away and risk having to not figure out what happens to her counts or potentially like reducing the dose of her palbo in an unnecessary way from the get-go. I wanted to maximize her benefit as much as I could.